Today, on Commitment to Truth.
When we are doing what is right before God, when we are obeying God in all of His commands, when we are doing the right thing all the time, it ultimately somehow protects us from the attacks of the enemy.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we begin a series titled, The Promised Land. God has prepared great things for us to take hold of. It could be a place, a job, a ministry, a mission opportunity, a relationship, or any other type of blessing He has prepared for us. God always wants us to move forward in Him and to go. However, how do we know when it is time to go? How do we care for the blessing He has created for us in advance? What is that promised land? This week, Pastor Cedric Brown will teach us how we can know when we are ready to take hold of the promised blessings, the promised land He has set aside for us. It's not when you might think. There's not necessarily a special moment when you just know. But God's Word shows us that there are stages, as shown in the book of Deuteronomy, to which we must arrive before God makes it clear that we must move. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So if you can open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to be there in for the most part, and we'll dive into some other peripheral passages of Scripture. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to pick up at verse, actually, number 3, and read through verse 8. And we're going to find in these verses our first of three, if you would, indicators that should help us all know if we are ready. If you can, again, Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, it says, "In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give to them. After he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei. Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, 'The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in Araba, in the hill country and the lowlands, in the Negev and the seacoast, in the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" And look at verse number 8. It says this, "See, I've placed the land before you, so go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them." So if you can back up, again, look at verse number 6. This is where we find our first indicator of if we are ready. It says this, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, 'You have stayed long enough.'" One of the greatest indicators of if we're ready to leave our wilderness and head into the promised land that God has so graciously given us is that we've stayed long enough. So what does the word stayed mean? It means this, to endure. So we have, first, we have endured long enough, and it's now time to move into the promise, right? The second definition is this, to stay temporarily. So in other words, where you are and where God has promised is two different, if you would, places. Where you are is temporary, and He wants to ultimately give you a permanent place or permanent experience in Him, if you like to say. The third definition of the word stay means this, you're staying in a limited area. In other words, before you enter the promises of God, the area in which you are living, what you are experiencing is limited. It's limited, if you would, in resources, as the children of Israel identified, is limited in where you can expand and grow, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the scriptures is reminding us, for us to know that if we're ready, we have to be in a place long enough to become ready to do what? Enter the promised land. So if you drill down in this a little longer or further, you will find three other, if you would, subpoints. And when you look at how the children of Israel were required to stay in the promised land. Okay, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, you don't have to turn there, but listen to what it simply describes in two words. The two words are found in verse 16, finally perished, which means this: to bring to closure as an oration or completion of a building project, to be unimpaired or to be upright. So in other words, God will cause us to stay in a place so that we can become men and women who are purged of ourselves and even purged of people around us. So if you look at the life and the journey of the children of Israel, there were people that did not make it into the promised land. In other words, God needed to cause them to stay in the wilderness until those people who could not fully embrace the promise of God were purged from among them. But then secondly, they were purged themselves. You see, in the New Testament, the scripture talks about what? Pruning. That there's this necessity of pruning the old, right? So that ultimately what? You can bear what? Much fruit. And then the scriptures also talk about new wineskins, right? There's this need to have this new wineskin to ultimately be what? Ready for the new wine. So you always find this pattern throughout the scripture over and over again, that there's this necessity to stay where you are until you become less of who you are. The second example you find is when the children of Israel were needed to learn how to obey. In other words, the cloud by day, the fire by night. In Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23, the children of Israel began to learn that, okay, if the cloud of the Lord is going to stay for one day, we're going to remain for one day. If it's for 1 month, we're going to stay for 1 month. If it's for a year, we'll stay for a year. But we don't want to go wherever you don't, what, go before us. So what this was ultimately teaching them was that in verse 23, Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23, it was teaching them this: to keep the Lord's charge. In other words, it was to teach them how to obey. Why? It's because this word further describes this, is that obedience protects you from the enemy. Think about that. When we are doing what is right before God, when we are obeying God in all of his commands, when we are doing the right thing all the time, it ultimately somehow protects us from the attacks of the enemy. Obedience ultimately protects us from the enemy. So the children of Israel had to learn that when God said go, he means go. When God says stay, it means stay. Why? It's likened to a parent. Think about this. Who says, son, you're going to be on timeout, which means you're going to sit there until I tell you what? It's time to move. Why? Is it because I'm just being a tyrant for a father? No, it's because I am teaching you how to obey. So there's going to be times that God puts you on timeout. And the children of Israel was on timeout for 40 years in the wilderness because they needed to stay there to learn how to obey God, to do whatever he says to do, whenever he says to do it, and however he says to do it, and for however long he says for them to do it. Make sense? And again, if you do a study on the children of Israel, you see that pattern over and over again, that they needed to do exactly in details as it relates to what God has instructed them to do to conquer the enemy. Same is true. God will instruct you and I to do specific things according to his word to save us from the enemy and or save us from sinning, which is an attack also and a ploy of the enemy. But then you also saw probably the most greatest description of why they needed to stay. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So can you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8? We're going to read verses 2 through 10. And the children of Israel needed to stay because God needed to deal with their hearts. So again, we learn that The reason to stay may mean that he's purging you and also purging people from your life. And then secondly, that he wants to just simply teach us how to obey him. But culminating, if you would, a reasoning is that he wants to ready our hearts. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 10. It says this: "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Why? That he may humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commands or not." Do you hear that? To humble you. This word humble means this: to be weakened, or to weaken oneself, or to be subdued, or to be occupied. So God wants to weaken us so that we can do what? Be more reliant on whom? On him. How many times have you seen that in your life? That he will weaken you and break you down. Another word for humility, humiliate. He will humiliate us to bring humility in us to ultimately allow us to be fully and completely dependent on him. The word testing you means this: testing one's faith and faithfulness. So in other words, God will allow you and cause you to be in a steady, staying, if you would, holding pattern around Mount Sinai in your life to ultimately make sure that your faithfulness is true. So that's why if you keep reading again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's continue in verse number 3. It says, "He humbled you and let you be hungry." But guess what he did? He fed you, caused you to be dependent, but then he did what? He met your need. "With manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Who quoted this? Anybody remember? Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, in his wilderness of all places. Verse 4, "Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell in these 40 years." So let's park here for a minute. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5, it says that your sandals did not wear out. Now, whenever I read this and study this, my imagination kind of goes haywire. So think about this. Clothes didn't wear out. Sandals didn't wear out. Could that mean that when I was 12 years old, I was wearing the same clothing that I started out with? In other words, did he allow my clothing to grow with me? Did he allow my shoes to grow with me? Think about that, church, for a minute. To me, that would be the most, he's already done some amazing things already. So that would be one of those amazing things that God does, is that, okay, I know you started this journey, you're 10 years old, but you've been faithful. Now you're 40 years old. And you need man-sized clothing, man-sized shoes. The shoes you started this journey with are the same shoes you're wearing today. And to me, that's, I don't know about you, that happens to me with cars. It's like, man, your car just keep running and keep running and keep running and keep running, and it never wears out. Have you ever had something that seems like God's hand is on it and it just keeps going and keeps going when everything else breaks down? Could be your job. Everybody loses their job, but you have your job over and over and over, and it just doesn't wear out. He's the same God. So verse 5, it says, "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son." Now please underscore this. When God disciplines, it's not punishing you. You see, discipline is ultimately making you a disciplined follower, a disciple. It is ultimately making you into who you ought to be rather than just punishing you. You follow me? God wasn't punishing the children of Israel. They just weren't ready for the promised land. You see, if you today are still waiting for your promises from God to manifest themselves in your life, doesn't mean that you're a bad boy or bad girl. He just knows your heart's not ready yet. But yet he will allow you to remain there until what? You develop the discipline that is needed to enjoy the precious promises of God and enter the land. Verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land, good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. Listen, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Do you see that? So many of the precious and magnificent promises that the children of Israel were going to inherit, but again, they needed to stay where they were until they became ready. Were they purged? Were they pruned? Were the people who could have influenced them, why they are inheriting the promise of God, are they purged from their lives? Are they willing to obey him completely with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? And number 3, we learn you got to stay long enough until your heart is ready, that we reach a place of humility, that our complete dependence is on him and him alone. Amen? How do you know if you're ready for your promised land? Again, the first indicator is that we have stayed long enough, and then God says, go inherit it. But then we find the second found in verses 9 through 18. And again, we're back in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Listen to what it says. I spoke to you at that time, saying, I'm not able to bear the burden alone, bear the burden of you alone. So this is Moses talking to the people, that he is not able to bear the burden. So here's our second part of understanding if we are ready. The second indicator is that, are we willing to share the burden? Now remember, sharing the burden is twofold. Are you willing to share the burden yourself? In other words, you have inherited a promise. Are you willing to let others carry the burden with you? One. But then secondly, the other side of this you'll find in the scriptures is that, are you willing to go and help someone else bear the burden of the promise? Makes sense. So it's reciprocal. You either invite someone to say, hey, help me bear this burden, or you are entering into the burden of someone else to help what them carry the burden. So keep that in mind. So verse 10, it says this, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day like the stars of heaven in number. So think about this. Think about this. One thing that comes along with the promises of God is this multiplication effect. That you can rest assured that if you're walking in the promise of God and that God has called you to start your own personal business, the worst thing you can do as a new businessman or businesswoman is to think that you can do the job by yourself. It is short-sighted and narrow-minded, and it will cause you to ultimately reach a lid too quickly. Same thing happens in ministry. If you're a ministry team leader, if you're a pastor, if you're whatever ministry that you're in, it could be children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, pastoral ministry, whatever it is, if you think that the promises of God will fall upon you and you'll be able to walk in them alone, you're sadly mistaken. The promises of God may be inherited if you would by you or by a local church or by a ministry or whatever it may be, or a household. But you can rest assured that God is not giving you the promise and allowing you to enjoy this promise or to walk in this promise alone. It is to be shared by others. It is a responsibility that's to be not only on your shoulders, but also the shoulders of other people around you. And as we dig deeper, you're going to see the reasons why. All right? But then it goes on to say this. In verse 11, it says, "May the Lord, the God of your father, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you." And then listen to what Moses begins to say. "How can I alone bear the load and burden of you and your strife?" Because guess what comes along with promises, burdens, and strife. Because here's the wonderful thing about God's promises. It is never excluding or exclusive of people. People bring burdens and people bring problems. And it's not meant for you or I to carry them alone. Verse 13, again, Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says, "Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribe, and I would appoint them as your heads. You answer me and said, 'The thing which you have said to do is good.' So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens, officers for your tribes. Then I charged your judges at that time, saying, 'Hear the cases between your fellow countrymen and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countrymen or alien who is with them. You should not show partiality in judgment. You should hear the small and the great alike. You should not fear men, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, you should bring to me, and I will hear them." So you see a process in this whole, if you would, shared burden, right? Then verse 18, "I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do." So here you find is this. A couple of key words before we get deeper is the words "not able," which simply means this: don't have the ability or the power, or I am incapable of doing this. So what Moses was confessing before the people is like, listen, you guys are multiplying. I see the promises of God coming as we head into the promised land. And guess what? There's going to be strife. There's going to be issues that need to be resolved. I can't bear this alone. Do you realize there's organizations that fold because the organization starts growing and they don't have the infrastructure to bear the burden? Ministries begin to collapse and begin to hurt people, as we're going to learn, because the infrastructure is not in place that prepares them for the growth. And one important factor that prepares one individually, collectively, ministry, individually, the church worldwide, is the willingness to share the burden. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about each person has an individual part to play just as he wills. This word burden means to carry that which the soul lifts up itself. So if you can imagine this, it's really kind of saying this, is that when the burden gets too heavy, it begins to affect the soul. And I'm sure some of you probably experienced that. Things get heavy, then it affects the soul, that person on the inside of you.
Thank you again for listening to our series, The Promised Land, From Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Ephesians 2:10 explains that God created us in Christ Jesus for good works he prepared specifically for us. It is up to us to hear from God and to know when to go and take the land. Once there, we must also take care of, or steward, what God has given us, and he will clearly show us how. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 8021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.